Operation Brilliant Mountain, Light the Flames of Kavala. Oh, wow. Here we go. We're going to the Kavala, and you get to find out Zora's digs, and then see who will pull those horrible barbed corrupted spears out of her and ignite the fire. This mission is a two-parter, effectively. We go episode 9 continues this, because there's just this horde of Redner's troops that we have to face, and we're pretty much throwing everything we can at slowing them down, slowing them down, and giving them everything we got to keep the fires burning and to restore Zora. Join us. Hope you enjoy. As someone answers the call of, I need someone with a steady hands and a steady heart. We're back.
Oh, I guess we're back.
I'm just gonna change the thing. Sorry, I clicked it already. We're back. And don't worry, I haven't showed the roll 20 screens. It's just our pretty faces right now.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we're going on mission Brilliant Mountain to go light the flames of Kavala. That should be
like you do
exactly. Let's get the screen up just right so that when I flip over, everyone goes ooh and ah appropriately. I want oohs and ahs when I cue them. Hold on. Okay, that's ooh and ahable. Here we go. There we go. Ooh and ah. There we go. Perfect. Hi. Adrian the writer just subscribed. That is an appropriate ooh and ah. Thank you.
That is good ooh and ah, sir.
That is very. Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you, World Namer. Thank you, John. All right. So yeah, let's do this mission.
Oh, load.
Yep.
Heavy.
Yep.
Don't need no stinking stealth.
Well, the other advantage of going, remember that not everyone needs to be heavy. Like the scout can go normal and it's fine. The advantage of heavy is that the soldiers are going to have, I believe, a metric poop ton of extra utility load to spend, right, which means that it compensates for some of the badness.
Yeah, so before we load, though, I'm going to spend some supplies because they're going to give us a few things automatically. So I am spending food. So everybody gets supplies free. And that's, if we got to do this for a week, I figure we need a week of food. And that's, is that accurate, Strash? That
is correct. It will sustain you. Theoretically, it's 5 days, but if you happen to have rookies that can like make stew and you bring some extra flour and stuff like that, we can stretch supplies.
Yeah, we're used to stretching supplies. And then let me look at our, I should have done this with a break. I'm also going to send Blackshot. I'm spending Blackshot. I also send religious supplies. It adds religious supplies. Well, I don't think we're going to have to face a lot of corruption from Render's attacks. I mean, he does have those
spears. It very much depends on who's here.
I was going to say, we're going to be, who's ever assisting Zora with getting that spear out is going to have to be facing corruption.
I mean, I imagine if she's in the fire, it might melt away, literally.
Yeah.
But corruption is definitely a thing against Brender. It just depends on who shows up.
Yeah, well, we know that his...
I don't know, is somebody pious so they get a free reliquary? Is Mitali? Oh. I don't know.
No, Mitali
is
definitely
not pious.
Mitali is acidic.
Yeah.
Also called the Rhino.
He's got lots of names. I'm not sending religious supplies. I'm sending food and Blackshot.
All right, cool.
Wait, what's our No, I am doing it because I actually care enough about our engagement role on this one. I don't want it to be complete junk. So, yeah, we're getting everything. We've got everyone gets reliquary.
Who are you, and what have you done to the quartermaster?
I don't know. Right? I don't know. I'm off my game.
Do reliquaries and black shark count towards our load? I forget.
You do not need to count it. It doesn't increase. The way load works is you get a pack, like a packet.
Yeah.
And then the reliquaries and black shot are utility items, but you get them for free. So you don't have to spend utility to get them.
Yeah. Radical.
And as with supplies. So we're getting all of the above. I don't know what I'm thinking, but.
Yeah, right.
I haven't spent black. I've had black shot for like ages and never spent it.
Not a lot of assault missions.
Yeah, so.
But this is one of those things where apparently the quartermaster cares. I don't know if the rookies start having other rumors about the quartermaster.
Right, I feel like Zora and the quartermaster had a moment in his tent, and not.
Not that kind of moment.
Well, not that kind of moment.
Not that kind of moment, but like.
Well, they've been sparring, right? Like they've been sparring back and forth.
Where, yeah.
Like, and like Radishes will win this war, and Zora's like only swords, right? And like. There's been a camaraderie built up, right? Like it's
I
not,
feel like it. Yes.
It's not inequality, but the quartermaster's like, OMG, I kind of feel like my friend's going to die. She's got giant spears through her chest.
Yeah. And I feel like that's probably what it looks like too. Everyone's like, what the hell, QM? What are you doing? And it's like, we need him. Shut up. And I mean, I think the rumor around camp is, yes, something's going on because the quartermaster has never been this generous. And just so you all know, never will be again.
Yeah. You know, I've played multiple full campaigns of Band of Blades, but this is the first time I've actually had a chosen seriously wounded, and yeah. I think it's actually kind of cool to see that the Legion, because usually the Legion's like, I don't know, we have this creepy thing that wanders around with us. I mean, we need it to survive, but like it's real weird. But like this is the first time where the Legion's like, oh no, our battleship.
oh no, that's not true. Our our horned one got fucked up by silver, right?
That's true. Right at the start. Had to right heal. Lost the limit.
Right at the start.
Yeah, it was something. So those are some bad rolls. catastrophically bad rolls. All right. Let's
we killed it. Yeah, fine.
Are we yeah, that's true. Ready there, Misha? You got your roll assembled?
Yeah. All right. So, is everybody Oathsworn? Yes. Commander, are you sending us with intel?
Oh, that's me.
Yes, that's you.
I mean, yeah, fuck right. I mean,
are you sure? Because you should probably save the intel for the secondary.
That's true. That's unless I wanted
to. What do you mean? I'm just saying, you are going to sacrifice Jay's precious intel.
Unless I wanted to use all of your intel, I'd leave you with none. But
well,
no,
we will get some intel from some of these. Yeah.
No, I'm good. I will
no not intel here.
Okay, cool. Not everybody is a specialist or soldier. Nobody distrusts or fears the leadership. We do not have the required leadership or the required. No, wait. We do have a required specialist on this one.
No, we don't.
No.
It's the other one that we do.
All right. So, yes, we're back down to zero. We're zero. This is religious. The quartermaster did. Religious. Huh? Yeah. The quartermaster did send one religious supply, and I don't believe anybody has blight. Am I correct?
Nope.
Correct.
No. Only voice Karayevich has blight here.
All right.
Someone has blight here? Forest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, voice Korea.
Kingfisher Knight.
Yeah, he was a character we picked up, so we haven't acquired it in game. But we, Josh, can you? I hate the way Roll 20 handles this. Can you drag that image of the castle to the right?
Maybe. Let me fix that. Yep. Carry on.
Neat.
Okay, so it looks like we got one big fat roll. One die. One.
Do it.
Yeah.
Is that working for you, Sean?
That, yeah, that's good.
All right.
Yes. I feel so vindicated by that five. I feel so vindicated. Because I know if that was two dice, that would have been a five and a one. I just know it. And I'm so relieved. That those religious supplies made a difference.
I will be right back before we narrate the opening.
Nice. Let me ask everyone else while Alice is away. I feel like you folks make it to Kabbalah, and as you can see in the picture, it's like massively high up in the mountains. And there's probably like, you folks know, like you don't get there and there's undead there. Like it's empty, right? Like you get there ahead of them. And the when you walk in, Zora spent a lot of this trip like in and out of consciousness, right? Like you're heading up the mountain and you've got like a horse or two and like a cart or something. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of fading and coming back. But when you get to the temple, she perks up a little. And she starts like telling people things, right? Like you're probably gonna want to take the like she says, like there are rooms up here, but they're for novices. Like you're not trying to harden yourself, they're going to be freezing. You want to go below ground. That's where like the nicer rooms are. They're closer to the fire, is where she says. So yeah, like she starts actually like telling you things, like you want to check the reservoirs. I don't know if they're frozen, but if they are, you want to chip them free. And like she's actually like talking about this place, like she's very intimately familiar with it. Like she actively knows the grounds in a way that aren't necessarily like obvious to everyone else. And I mean, this is a cool temple, like way high up. And by the time you folks get there, you realize that like, even though 100 years ago, like there were even people there, but there aren't any now. Yeah, like it's empty, right? Like you see like an orchard, that is like largely bereft of leaves and things like that. And yeah, it's there's stuff here, but yeah, Zora's giving people directions. Before you actually go to engage the undead, you gotta light the fires, right? And she tells, who's in charge?
Grey Wafting Smoke.
Yeah.
Who's playing Grey Wafting?
That would be me.
So she turns to Grey Wafting and she says, I'm going to need someone to help me with steady hands and a steadier heart.
Yes, ma'am.
She just stands like a statue, not breathing even, like, and waits for you to produce someone.
Oh, it takes a second for Grey Wafting Smoke to realize she didn't really mean her.
I mean, it could mean you. I don't know, yeah, but like, sorry, no, just like,
sorry, I probably. She looks around at the others. I think
I'll
I
do
really
it.
Have the steadiest hands.
Actually, it's probably Flavia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The butcher. Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Steady hands are needed for explosives and butchering.
Yep.
So Jen, I know you're playing Mitali, but I think Zora, do you mind playing Flavia for just like a hot minute?
I'm playing her.
You're playing her. Fantastic. Yes. That's great.
Oh yeah.
I forgot that Flavia is the grenadier. I thought it was Grey Wafting. My bad.
Nope.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. So Alice, do you wanna go with Zora? Awesome.
Yeah.
So, Zora will take you below the grounds, and you'll get to certain doors that, like, you get to certain sections of the keep where she just, like, knows to press certain stones to, like, shove hidden doorways open and things like that. So, like, it's obvious that she's, like, really, really knows this place, right? And every once in a while, you see her walk through an area and she, like, looks at it almost like she's seeing ghosts, right? Like, she knows stuff about, like she's seeing memories, right? Like she's been here before, clearly.
I think in Zora's vision, we maybe see like the place populated once upon a time. I don't know.
You see her and Render, but they're human and they look much younger.
Mm.
So like, you know, she's like Render like smashes her weapon away and she does this like weird like kick move where she like grabs him by the neck and like flips him over and it looks super fancy. Imagine a cool, and then they like laugh and giggle on the ground and like he has to tap out. So anyway, she leads you below the levels, right? And like pretty soon the stones grow warm to your touch. Not all of them, but like areas of them are pretty warm, right? And you feel like that heavy furs are maybe not super necessary right this second. But yeah, she takes you down below and she takes you to like a chamber that has like a big opening that like goes down a ways. and she says, you're going to have to go beneath here. And she points at a staircase and she says, you're going to have to shove, you're going to have to shove it into the fires. And when the flame lights up, you have to put me in it. And she says, but before that, she pulls out a knife. And she holds it out to you and she goes, you're going to have to cut this out of me. And she taps the pieces of the spear. And she says, I'm going to stop. Actually, what she says is, I'm going to die, but don't worry about it. It's not going to hold. You just need to get me into the fire soon enough.
You got it. Won't be the first time something died in my hands. Won't be the last.
Awesome. I think we're going to make a fortune roll. So I'm gonna give you two dice for being a soldier, threat two, and a butcher. Sure. And we're going to see how you roll. If you roll less than three, I'm going to say you're going to gain two corruption. If you roll 4 to 5, you're going to gain one corruption. If you roll a 6+, you're going to gain no corruption. Does that sound good?
Are any of us nearby, or is this just Flavia?
I think it's just us, is what it sounds like.
You can... Zoria isn't like trying to hide people. She's just like, I need a minimum of one. And yeah. Grey Wafting's like, you have one. And Zora's like, that's enough. Let's go.
Yeah. We were all sent with reliquaries, so we have the ability to resist corruption. And Cobalt Raging Blaze has fine reliquaries as part of the scout's gear. Cool. So
I'm just gonna roll the 2d6.
Do it.
6, because I'm Alice.
it's the old Landgrave rolls, right? But no, yeah, you gain no corruption. You cut it out. You don't necessarily even touch it. You like pull it out and like toss it aside, and it clangs along the ground and everything. And sure enough, Zora leaks a hell of a lot of fluid. And then she says, like, remember, don't take too long. And like, you know, her eyes flutter shut.
There's a moment where like, I feel like there's a moment right near the end before she like goes straight under, where like she like almost falls over, and you see I'm forgetting my name, sorry, it's gonna take me a second.
Flavia
like brace her and like catch her by like the back of her head and like slowly lower her down, and then like just huffed her in both arms.
Awesome. Cool. So I don't think this is not super complicated. You're intended to do this, right? Like it's not a
yep.
The instructions are not too complicated. So like below this area, there's like a staircase that goes down quite a ways actually. And by the time you get there, there's actually a glow from below, right? Like, so this has some fancy name, like the Smoking Mountain or the Quaking Mountain. And you actually see the glow of effectively lava, right?
It's not called the Brilliant Mountain?
Oh, great, it'll be the Brilliant Mountain. Sure enough, you know, there's a chamber with these large stone rectangular blocks, and each one of them has these like intricate carvings on them, written in a language that predates the empire. There's basically like each one of them has like symbols that you recognize as like fire or fuel, and you know, there's like obviously like a discharge one lever next to them. And when you look at them, it looks like some of them are open, like they're cracked open. There's 9 of them that are empty. What do you want to do?
I mean, she gave me my instructions, right? Yeah. I think I'm just gonna follow them as like to the letter as I possibly can.
Cool. Yeah. So you like, you know, you pull a lever and one of these things cracks open, and you realize that it's basically some sort of sarcophagus, right?
Yep.
And because like this mummified thing like falls out and into the fire.
Yep.
And after a couple seconds, this like white coruscating flame goes up, and it goes straight up through the channel and like up to where Zora was dead in that chamber up there.
I think I'm gonna pull all the levers because
Jesus. Okay. Or just one, but if you want to pull all of them, that's
it. I think the idea was that, like, okay, these are undead. They probably don't have anything under in here, or could be undead. Probably just want to pull all of these, and then follow instructions.
All right. So, yeah,
I suggest that if we have to keep this for 7 days, we might want to save some fuel.
Wait, is this fuel for the fire? I misunderstood.
No, it's totally fine because water is supposed to burn for a while, right? Like you're not. It definitely lasts.
I also misunderstood the situation. I didn't realize it was the fuel for the actual like keeping.
Yeah, it's for the sacred burning. Fires.
The thing we're probably gonna keep one lava. Singular one.
Yeah. Okay, but. Cool. So you keep one for special, but yeah, you dump a lot of them in. As a matter of fact, you have to get out of that chamber quick, right? Because like the fire like amplifies, it gets real big. As a matter of fact, like when it shoots up, there's these like crystals like in towers around this place, and when the fires light up, the crystals like shine, right? Like they explode with brilliant light that like goes out, like flies out of the facets, and you can be seen for like thousands of miles, that kind of thing.
I imagine we want her to heal as quickly as possible.
Yeah, you're so. Just like extra juice is good, right? So yeah, you get to the top and you shove Zora into the flame, right? And she actually draws breath, and like if you get her part way in, she like actually like steps inside and turns around, and she's got that whole like Galadriel, I've got fire underneath my skin look, right? She's like standing in the flame, and she goes, "You're being extra generous," because like she obviously realizes that there's way more fire here than there should be. But yeah, like the chamber below is like awash in flame, and everything's like freaking glowing. So we'll talk about this. This will be a devil's bargain later. I'll give you a +1d on a fortune roll later.
I think she should be like, "Look, I'm not an expert on this, but it seemed like more fire for you is good."
Overkill is underrated.
Actually, she says. She nods. And you realize that like essentially like it's a test, right? Like it's some sort of, you're making it harder on her, but in some ways you're helping her too, right? Like
oh, sure. All about oh that. No, now we're at the yeah, that makes total sense. She deserves this.
Some making things harder on her. She likes to do that for the rest of us all the time. It's good.
Yeah. Awesome. So Elsa's getting a role flank. There are no consequences here. But we're gonna get to that fortune roll. So I was about to say commander. What I mean is corporal. So person in charge of mission, Grey Wafting.
Yes.
Are you planning to engage the troops outside of the keep? Are you planning to like do like scouting raids downside the mountain? Is that the plan?
My plan is to fortify the keep as best I can. I mean, it's a keep, so it's got some defenses built in. So I plan on using those to our advantage. You know, hey, is there some oil? Let's get that boiling. Is there? Yeah. You see that thing there? Yeah, make sure that's down. And yeah, just like we're gonna hole up here and defend it until she's ready to go.
Cool. So. I'm gonna switch you to a different screen. Check it out. I've got a cool map.
You can drag that over to the right a little more too.
I can't. I'm gonna try.
Keep in mind they're also cut off, so like their supplies will run out eventually.
Yep.
It's close enough. It's good assist.
No. Check this out. Boop. I'm getting good at this mini game.
Nice. Thank you. Much better.
You're welcome. Anything, so that it looks better for our fans. All right. Cool. Awesome. So I think that that result, that 4-5 is gonna is probably gonna come into pass. All right. So let me set the scene, and we'll take a look here. I think that you folks are there for like a day, and you're gonna get a chance to we're gonna talk about what kind of defenses you do, or we can go back in flashbacks and roll some rig to set up traps.
I was about to, yeah, I'm gonna have many of those, I'm probably sure.
That's awesome. So yeah, so you've set up some fictional position. Hey, we're spending our time setting up traps rather than necessarily. So you've got like 24 hours. Like it's not a lot of time. By the time you folks set up camp and get everything gone, something happens, like you hear that terrifying, the sound of drums echoing off the mountainside. The undead coming up are not even remotely trying to hide the fact that they're doing this. And sort of like filing out of the like, up the canyon paths, like through, like there's like switchbacks going up the mountainside and everything. And like, as it approaches the walls of this monastery, you see like, several units of Black Oak Knights you see heartless, with like hounds chained off of their hips, carrying like quivers of those black javelins. And leading them all is someone who's probably not here, but has taken it upon himself to show the F up. So like the Black Oak Knights usually are covered in like heavy black plate. And I'm talking like, they've got like skulls on shoulders and they look like super metal and everything like that. But this dude is not covered in any armor at all. As a matter of fact, he's actually like flayed off his skin and he's got like symbols of Render carved into like his musculature, but he seems to be like alive. Like he's not dead. He hasn't bled to death for some reason. Dude's called Irag the Flayed. He's actually one of Render's lieutenants. He's one of the leaders of the Black Oak Knights. And yeah, he's leading the troops here. It seems that he has taken it upon himself to get justice. He believes that if Zora is wounded, they can end her, especially when she's like in the process of healing, right? So like he shows up with all of these troops, and that's the risky position, right? Like they outnumber you currently, and you have a fortified position, but they've definitely got the numbers on you.
So you said they had like the winding pass, like the narrow to get up here, and that they blow horns to like signal their approach and stuff like that.
Not horns, but they do have drums.
Drums. That's sort of same principle in terms of, I would like to flashback and have, like, set up explosive charges in, the side of the, like pass they're walking up and detonate them based on when they're, like, when you can, how close the drums are. Like,
so here's the, yeah, okay, that sounds good. So that's a flashback, right?
Yes.
And you're actually timing their approach and they're not hiding it. So traditionally, when you roll an engagement roll, there is like, it's a risky position right away. So theoretically, according to the rules, I should be like, well, this is a risky roll, but it's actually not. It's only risky until you mechanically engage with it. So using flashbacks to like purchase other options and bring other things into play can actually change the position. So in this case, what I'm going to say is, cool, give me control back.
Cool. Let's see, Fabiola. No, wrong person. This person.
Flavia.
Flavia. Cool. So there's a wreck. You said controlled.
Would you like an assist?
Yeah, I mean, I need someone. I'm using I have a fine climbing kit that I'm using to help.
Yeah.
I need someone to like steady my rope line while I'm doing this sort of thing.
Sounds good. Yeah, I think Cobalt Raging Blaze, she wants to get outside of the walls anyway. She wants to know the terrain, so she is happy to go with and be able to, you know, get a look at things and an aid in that. So I'm going to be holding things steady. Spend the stress to give an assist.
Cool. So I'm also going to push myself for effect rather than dice.
Oh, okay. Fancy.
And the bonus dice of one. So, boop. Oof.
How bad is it?
3, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. So here's the deal. You can do it, but it's going to be a risky position.
Yeah.
So what happens is, you send the charges and you like twist the alchemicals. And what you don't realize is that these charges, well, you do realize this, you just don't understand the consequences, right? Like these charges get hot before they blow. Mm-hmm. So when you put the stuff in, it gets warm and you're like, you pick in the ice, you put the thing in and you're picking in the ice to like try and set it up so that like, you know, you can get out. When there is a sound, right? Like the sound of drums echoes and there's this moment when this section of the cliffside gives way and you're free swinging and you can see the alchemicals and they're like 10 feet below you and you're gonna have to like do a risky free climb down if you want to use that actual satchel charge.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Yep.
So basically what we're doing is a fall through, right? Like, so you were in controlled and now you are in risky and you,
yep,
it's kind of changing your position because like now you can't just roll wreck. Right, yeah. I can ask you like, well, how do you want to deal with this? And you're like, well, maybe I just climb up and we call it a day.
Let's see.
Um, I mean, we can try to mitigate this, right? Like the other option is try another way. We could make a maneuver roll instead to try and get down there safer so that the wreck is a little...
I mean, yeah, my...
It's probably going to be risky either way.
Yeah. So here's the thing. For some reason, I'm picturing this character as much like a planner. Sure. I feel like they have already like scouted this location like on the way up. Like they picked this location. I mean,
you were planning where to place it. Sure.
Yeah, like this because it's easier to like manage risks and stuff. There's lots of good handholds. There's lots of good like alternative places, like alternative routes. Like this is like. I'm aiming for a scout to be like, yes, we've compensated for this already.
Oh, I see. You would like a flashback scout role.
Yes. I would like a flashback within my flashback.
Yeah, that's fine. It's still going to be risky though, right?
No, that's fine.
There's the reason it's risky is you scouted it out under ideal conditions. You're like, I want something good and I want to know a path down. And I'm like, okay, but the reason it's risky is because you already set off the chemicals, which means that you have very, very few minutes. So let's see if your risky scout roll, what your risky scout roll tells you.
Yeah.
So let's see if you have a better position.
So what were the stress for both those flashbacks, by the way?
I feel like 0 and 0. That's why I didn't bring it up. Well, actually, no. I'm going to say that the first one is 1 stress, right? Because your commanding officer is like, we should all be blockaded here and not setting off explosives down there. And you're like, well, I'm setting off explosives down there. And I also brought a friend. So
it's true.
1 stress means that it's a little unlikely, but it's not, it's fine.
Risky scout roll.
Since Cobalt's with you, I've got fine lenses and good maps and whatnot.
I didn't even ask if like the fine climbing kit helped at all. Didn't even ask.
Not when you roll 3s.
I meant for like bonus dice or something. But
yeah, usually fine doesn't affect dice pools. It only affects
right. Effect. You are correct. So yeah, fine lenses. Do they affect the effect of like finding this location?
Not really. I think yes. I think your friend is probably scouting out the enemy position and giving call outs and all sorts of stuff like that. I think the way we're going to do this is we're just going to say it's the same role, right? Like your friend spent the stress to assist you, and we're just going to say that the role falls through, right? So
you're
still going to be rolling plus one.
Three dice is the same wreck and scout. So we're just
rolling. Yeah, I was going to say if you want to do a group action, we could do that. That's possibly more stress, but it is one more, but it's more dice.
That's true. Group action makes sense.
I figure if it's scouting, I think Cobalt Raven.
We're doing this together. This was like our plan. The plan was we scout the location together. I set off the explosives. We all go home, have a merry day.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. Just roll sixes.
Okay. Who's leading it though?
I mean, probably you if it's a scout. Like I imagine that's you.
Sounds good. It's risky.
Yes.
Hey, it's at least 4.
I rolled a 4. And you rolled a 4.
All right, so no stress, but...
So let's see. Well, I have to actually look at my chart here. Hang on 1 second. Let me look at sheets. Risky, you do it, but there's a consequence. You suffer harm, a complication occurs, you have reduced effect, or you end up in a desperate position. You folks want some desperate position?
I mean, always. It's like...
Awesome.
I mean, Cobalt's Daredevil, so it's like...
Rad, let's do a desperate position. I think you get to it, and you have to set off the explosive, like, really, 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 really fast, right? Like, you're there, you're on top of it, but you're like, oh, shit, we've got, like, 15 seconds. Yeah. So, I think this is going to be,
like... Is it setting off the explosive super fast, or is it...
Setting it off. It's setting it in place and getting out of the
problem. Getting out of dodge.
Right. So, I think that... Let's just talk through the consequences, right? So, if you roll a 1 to 3... It's going to go off. You're going to be in the blast radius. It's going to be bad news bears. It may not even go off correctly. If you roll 4 to 5, it's going to go off correctly. It's going to drop an avalanche on Render's troops. It's going to help you folks out. But you're probably going to get caught in the avalanche. There's probably going to be some harm. You might have to roll some resists. It's going to be fun. And finally, if you roll a six, you know, everything's kosher. Just you know. Just
groovy.
You guys roll well. Yeah, it's fine.
Radical.
So we're making a desperate, are we calling this maneuver to put this in place and run out of here? Or is it wreck to actually set the bomb? Is it scout to find our way? I'm just trying to think of like what we're actually trying to accomplish in the moment, like so that we can pick the action that fits the fiction. Is it that we've got it set and we're trying to scamper out of there on time, or is it the actual like setting of the bomb that we have to do? Because then I think it's pretty clear that it has to be wreck. But
I feel like we already set the bomb. Like I feel like that is the thing that like we essentially set it with the rec roll and we're made sure we did with the scout roll, right?
Yeah.
So I think the bomb is set with like its effect and things like that. Now it's just okay. Now what do we do?
Yeah.
Which sounds to me, as much as I'm talking myself out of dice, is a maneuver roll.
It's probably more dice on Sean's part though.
It's true.
I'd rather do scout, but
I mean so would I, but it's scout.
I think the action we were doing is maneuver though. It's
yeah,
it's we've said it, let's haul the hell out of here. Yep. All right,
group action with you still leading.
Yeah, sure, that sounds good.
Cool. Sounds like I didn't take stress last time and now I have +1d for Daredevil. Let's go. Yeah.
It's true. What's
the worst that could happen?
Yep.
Little three harm all over the place.
All right.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
Desperate. Standard effect.
Oh, Devil's Bargains? Any?
Yeah, the usual Devil's Bargains that really work here, right? Like corruption, pissing off your chosen. Not off the top of my head.
Sure.
I mean, I have one, which is that it might be easier for us to go elsewhere rather than back. We could be separated from everyone else.
That seems like a poor decision.
I mean, that's why Devil's Bargains.
It's true.
I'm just saying, like, we might dive down, you know, might dive to the closest place.
Oh, but that's also a really good scene. The idea of us separated and then, like, we go over the top behind them with grenades. Whenever they hit the wall,
there's a lot of them. Yeah,
it's true.
Okay.
It's true.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a good Devil's Bargain.
Okay. Here's the thing. We are in this together. I will take that if you do.
Well, I first want to see if Strash feels like that is even an applicable.
Yeah. If you want to be in a suicidal scale, yeah, I'm okay with that. That's a Devil's Bargain. It's like 3-4 degrees of scale, I think. It'll be fun.
Like 3-4 degrees of scale. Oh, because we're right. Well, you're assuming we're gonna attack them, but
you're gonna have to go through them to get back.
My idea was
you and the camp.
My idea was throw grenades, make a path, run through.
Oh, I hate that idea. My idea is like sneak around, but you know, whatever. We can
throw grenades as a distraction, sneak around.
Grenades prevent sneaking often. I'm just saying.
Yeah, fine.
He just like says it all.
I think.
You're bad at grenades, that's all.
Cobalt Raging Blaze is a scout and not affiliated with the Grinning Ravens. So she doesn't necessarily have super high loyalty to the Ravens in particular, but Flavia, I think, does.
Yeah.
So do we think Flavia, being very loyal to the Ravens, would essentially disobey Gray's command, which is stay here? That's my only thing. Is I don't know that this actually would be a thing we would.
I mean, I didn't know if it was a disobey thing. Like, is this a conscious decision or are we just separated?
Yeah, well, that's fair. I didn't mean to. I just ran off. As a player, I took the die, but.
I'm cool not taking it and I'll just roll my one die and you take stress if not. I'm okay with that. I'm all cool right. Resisting consequences.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so no Devil's Bargain. Suggest all that.
I hate three, that. Take a stress. I'm rolling poorly all of a sudden.
All right. Wait.
That's a five.
Yeah, but let me roll one more die because I get +1d and
sure.
Daredevil.
Desperate situations.
Yeah. Desperate. And I thought I put it in there, but I guess not. I'm just going to roll maneuver one other time.
Mm. 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 6?
Yes. Oh, that was it. Thank you, Daredevil.
So, Sean, wow.
Speaking of stress.
I'm sorry, I'm speechless, because I was like, cool, so both of you have level 3 harm because you're buried in an avalanche when it goes down on the enemy camp and you're separated from all your peeps.
Yeah,
that would have been like, exactly 6. The right. And I'm like, well, you would have been buried in that avalanche, but yeah. Somehow you get the two of you out. I think we see Flavia about to get, like, she gets caught in the explosion somehow a little bit, and you manage to save the day, although both of you are going to be, like, further down the hill. So tell me how that goes. Like, what happens? Is there some fine climbing kit? How does this work?
Exactly. Well, right, because Flavia used her climbing kit to get here, but I think what we didn't see on camera until just now, that Cobalt Raging Blaze had her grapnel and rope behind them, and, like, why does it look like... Right as it looked like we were just going to go tumbling down, Blaze grabs hold of, you know, reaches out her hand to Flavia and catches her hand, and then just it looks like it's almost out of nowhere from, like, the snow, but catches the rope that's above, and they literally, the two of them, go, like, swinging across, like, as snow is flying down in one sheet, they're kind of swinging across until they, I don't know how far down the path this was, but, you know, was this right outside the walls, or was this closer? Or was this
I imagine a couple hundred feet at least.
What's yeah, that? I mean, it was a decent distance because we gauged it based on, like, how far their drums were and stuff like that.
Nice. So yeah, we basically kind of swing out of an arc and then we let go at the peak of this arc and just go tumbling down, but it's into soft snow rather than we're on top of the sheet of snow instead of underneath.
It is, of course, a climactic moment where it looks like someone's gonna go over the edge, then a hand shoots out and somebody, like, grabs a ledge, you know, you clamber on and you look and it's like, oh, there's no way up, we're gonna have to go down and around, you know. Yeah, classic movie scene. So Misha, the enemy shows up, fewer in number significantly. So, like, you were expecting, like, by the sound of that drum, there might have been, like, I don't know, 50 troops there, like 10-1 odds. They show up with, like, 2 squads, maybe 3 heartless, and, like, a bunch of hounds and stuff. So you're guessing that they have, like, I'm gonna say, I don't know, 30 total, and that includes, like, hounds and heartless and everything else, as opposed to, like, you know, 50 core units with some support. So yeah, but your troops have not returned and you can't find them anywhere in the keep. How are you folks gonna hold here? Metali's with you, but, like, what's the plan?
I guess we defend the walls with what we got. I mean, I will yell at them later when I find them. But for now, yeah, it's like, you know, we have the pitch ready and we have the weapons ready and we're just pushing ladders off away from the walls and keeping them from getting in.
Everybody has black shot, so you have lethal weapons against them, right?
So I'm about to ask for a very odd roll. Now, as a GM, I'm not supposed to tell you what kind of rolls to make, mm-hmm. but I want to know what kind of position you're in, -2 troops, when you're trying to defend this. And what I'm asking is for troop disposition. And the way that you do troop disposition in Band of Blades is a martial role. So I just want to know kind of like what kind of like state everyone's in when you're commanding them and organizing them and trying to coordinate all of these actions so that I can set the position appropriately, right? Because, like, I don't know what the position is because I don't know what sort of like state you're in. I know kind of how they're arraigned, but there's no like clear moment of action yet. So, like, when 2 large forces engage, you usually make a martial roll to sort of like figure out the position.
Question about order of operations, Shrush. We did this all as a giant flashback before they arrived.
Yep.
So has the bomb gone off and their troops been dispersed? Okay. So they heard that. So part of this morale roll should also include a big kaboom and snow falling and, like, clearly.
Well, you don't actually see the snowfall because you folks are, like, way further down the hill, right?
Oh, right.
And all this is happening, like, below the, like, average field of vision and things like that. Like, it's still more down on slope.
Shattering kaboom.
There is, yeah. And you're like, okay, somebody set off explosives. Clearly they're out there, but they haven't come back.
Nice.
Yeah.
Misha, I've got one in Marshall with Mentale, for what that's worth.
I have zero in Marshall.
Yeah, I was going to guess that you had zero.
Marshall, why would I have that?
Mentale can roll, and you could assist, right? Like, the two of you can play as a team.
Assist, push yourself, devil's bargains.
So I have Relentless, which says I can spin grit to push myself.
Yes, that is amazing and true. You start with one grit. Do you have more?
No, I just have the one.
Oh, okay.
But still, it's one for one.
Yeah, no, it's a free push.
Yeah.
Grit is just very useful. Grit's really good. I love soldiers.
Very first game, Jay was like, I want to make a career soldier. And I was like, I feel ya.
All right, so.
I think secretly rookie is my favorite playbook, but.
All right, so you go.
Are we risky or desperate? I forget.
There's no real position. This is essentially going to be a fortune roll, right? Based on your martial skill, and then if you want to push yourself and stuff like that, all of that will go into effect. Yeah, it's that's all there is.
Gotcha.
I was gonna say, once if we're doing actual defending, like Multali's got War Machine, sure. Which would come in handy.
Yeah, and Anchor, which is
Anchor.
Yeah, it's freaking great. All right, so Misha rolls a die. It comes up with a three, which means that you're in a bad position. You're in a bad way, right? And I think that that there's probably this like epic shot, right, where like that one heartless, which is who's clearly the heartless that's been harassing your troops and everything else, steps forward, right? Like it's an infamous. It's Boryevich, yeah. And he pulls out like some spears and he starts putting them in the walls, and they're actually like the hounds are using them to like jump up onto the battlements, like harass people. And by the time you can deal with them, there's like several heartless over there, and the Black Oak Knights are actually bringing a battering ram. And initially you're like, oh, okay, so that whole squad's just going to be battering ramming like the gates, right? But no, the dude who's like the flayed man, he like actually picks it up himself and like hits the doors with it. So
awesome.
This like horrible moment, right? Like a bunch of hounds like leap up. The soldiers are all got like muskets. You see like Blackshot go out, a couple of them fall off. And then you see like a heartless, you see like the Boryevich heartless on the wall now. And it lifts up. It pulls out like two of those spears, right? And then it like is going to launch itself forward at Mentale. And I'm sorry, Jen, I really wanted to give you a cool action scene, but I think we're out of time. I think this is probably like the epic ending shot where like the credits roll and we're going to pick it up next session. Is that cool with everyone?
Mm-hmm. You're killing me.
Sorry, it's a desperate position. So we're going to start. Okay, just a reminder to self, we all start in a desperate position. All right, we're good.
All right, nice.
Awesome. So shall we do outros?
I think so.
Rat Rose.
Let's do the thing where we do the thing. Yeah, I am Sean Nittner. I use he/him pronouns. You can find me everywhere at Sean Nittner. Pretty much. I'm very excited because this game has just gone to pre-order. There is the link that you can get it after the stream. Josh is going to be updating Drive Through, and I'll be sending out a Kickstarter update to the Blades and the Dark backers to get it as well. The PDF will be a real thing. I'm very stoked about that. Also, Big Bad Con is coming up, and I'm just about to get the backer kit ready for that. And the site now has the scholarship live, so you can go on the site and apply for that. Good things all around. How about you, Misha?
Hi, I'm Misha B. She, her. You can find me on Twitter at BG Gameworks and other places, blackgirlgameworks.com and newagendapublishing.com. My kids are out of school, so my life is going to be fun for a little while until we get camps and stuff started. So that'll be exciting for the next couple of weeks. How about you, Jen?
I am Jen Martin. I use she, her pronouns. I am at JenMartin80 on Twitter. Super stoked about Big Bad Con. I have just a bunch of things I'm working on, some of which I may or may not be able to talk about. So I'm just going to be mysterious. And also, I'm very sleepy. What about you, Alice?
Hi, I'm Alice, also known as Taffcat around the interwebs. I wrote Kiss Before the World Ends, which you can find on itch.io, game about relationships and what we do with the time we have left. I'm also writing supplemental stuff for this game that I'm really excited about, reversing which chosen are chosen and which broken are broken. So, you know, like Zora as a broken, if you've ever wanted to get the shit kicked out of you by Zora.
Or if you're going to have Lyseem, the Shining One, aka Render right now, but like as a chosen that might defend the Legion.
Yeah, so that sort of thing. So that's, I'm excited about that. So yeah, if you want to follow me, I'm Taffcat on Twitter, TAFKAT _. Also stream occasionally if you, for some reason, want to watch me play video games.
Nice. How about you,
Hey, Trash? I'm Trash. I use he, him pronouns, and holy poop, am I excited to get a copy of this game as a book. I cannot wait to touch it and just, you know, rub it against my face like a cat.
Does it have the smooth velvety covers?
Oh, I guess flip through it. Yeah, that's a thing. No, I'm super stoked. I can't wait for folks to get it. I'm really curious what people think. I know that I've poured a lot of myself into this game. I'm really curious how it comes across, but I'm glad the project has become a real thing now. So that's consumed a lot of my time. I'm working on a couple of new things because apparently I can't stop making games. But in addition to that, there's going to be a cool game that's going to happen at Big Bad Con that I'm designing for Big Bad Con. And I've gotten my first secret ingredient for that game, which is Spycraft. So there's going to be a spy game made by Strash for Big Bad Con. So that's going to be cool.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that's it for me. I think this is the point where we say smooth outro.
Not at all.
Woot. Thank you, Daredevil. Pulled that desperate maneuver. That was the six we needed. Very happy to not be underneath an avalanche of ice and snow. Despite that, we're still bombarded by, you know, 30 troops, including some of the elite, very, very scary, infamous and lieutenants. So join us next time as we keep defending the walls, and as Motali and Gray try to hold against the assault. See you then.